Hechel Menachem presents A Tale of Two Souls, an ongoing lecture series on the Tanya by Rabbi Yosef Yitzchak Jacobson. This is recording number 100 in the series entitled How Do You Experience God? Inanimate Judaism, Botanic Judaism, Animal Judaism, and Human Judaism. This class was recorded live at Hechel Menachem, Brooklyn, New York on the 2nd of Iyar 5760.
Welcome back to all the faces who weren't here for a while. And I want to wish Yoni Mazel Tov, one of the pillars of our shir, on the birth of your new son. Mazel Tov, Mazel Tov. There's a story told about a simple Yid who was once davening Rosh Hashanah in Shul. A God-fearing Jew, but a real simpleton. In the middle of davening, when they arrived at the Piyut, Hashem Melech, in the Shachrus of Rosh Hashanah, he started to shout from the Machzer, Kol Shinanei Shachag Ba'emer Madirim, Hashem Melech, Kol Sheichnei Sheket Bevrachim Avarchim, Hashem Melech, and Elu Ve'elu Begeva Magdilim, Hashem Yimlech. So they asked the Yid if he understands the meaning behind these words. Of course, the meaning of these words is Kol Shinane Shachak. Ba'emer Ma'adirim is Shinane Shachak of the heavenly angels proclaim with might that Hashem is King. All people that dwell on the earth bless him and proclaim that Hashem was King, and both the former and the latter loudly exclaimed that Hashem will be king. So they asked the Yid if he knows the meaning of these words. He says, of course I know. Father in heaven, I need money. Father in heaven, I need money. Ribbono shel Olam, I need money. So this episode came to mind, learning this Perek, which chapter 38 of Tanya, which theme is dedicated to explain the statement of the rabbis that tefillah, aishar bracha b'lei kavona k'guf b'lei neshama. Prayer or any other blessing recited without meditation is like a body devoid of a soul. Now I'm sure there are other Yidden who, when they say the piyut, they know exactly who authored it. Reb Shimon bar Yitzchak, and which century he lived in, and which country he lived in, and if the liturgy is based on an olive-based pashat or an olive-based kafel, a multiple olive-based or a singular olive-based, as the various systems in the symmetry of the Rosh Hashanah and Yom Kippur liturgy and so forth. In a way, his meditation was more genuine than that type of meditation, because although he didn't know the meaning of the words, but his eye, his soul, his heart was there, was present while he was saying the words. Obviously, someone who knows the meaning of the words, that would not suffice. Reminds me, there was once a Yid who was a very simple Yid. Before Yom Kippur, the Sar Shalom of Bells asked him the meaning of the words, Ima Veinenu Anu Vanu, which we say in the Slichas. And again, he saw that this Yid was shouting these words with such fervor. He says, Rabbi Yid, what's the meaning behind these words? So literally, the real meaning, Ima Veinenu Anu Vanu, Anu with an Ayin, Ayin Nun Vav, if our sins have testified against us, Hashem Aseh L'man Shemach, do it for your name. This Yid said, Im Aveinenu, even if we sinned, Anu Banu, we are still his children. Anu with an Aleph. And he was very deeply moved by his words. And all Yom Kippur, he was repeating his interpretation. Im Aveinenu, Anu Banu. The theme of Kavana, of proper meditation and passion that must accompany the davening experience and the Yiddishkeit experience, is the theme that Alter Rebbe develops in this chapter. Although everybody knows the quote that a mitzvah without kavana is a body without a neshama, and literally, we apparently it's easily understood. You can have the complete body lacking the animation, vitality, and stamina and energy. But the Alter Rebbe, as usual in the Tanya, reveals astonishing depth into something which seems like a simple statement. It is a profound explanation, and although we began it last week, a lot of you expressed difficulty in understanding it for good reason. I want you should understand Alter Rebbe's explanation very well, and the powerful depth and chiddush he grants to this statement. And I want to ask Hashem to allow me to become a conduit through which the Alter Rebbe's energy can flow. In this world, he said, there are two types of existences. There are bodies and there are spirits. An animal is comprised of two components. It has a body and it has a soul. A human being as well is comprised of two components, a physical body and a psychological identity, a consciousness. More specifically, he said, the world can be divided into four categories, doimim, tzeimeya, chay, medaber, the inorganic elements, the organic elements, the animal kingdom, and the human race. The former two, Doimim and Semeach, the mineral inanimate world and the botanic world, do not have a spirit. They have only a body. They don't have a soul in the sense of a consciousness, awareness, feelings, a psychological identity, including impulses, drives, instincts, and so forth. All the other elements that create the persona of a consciousness, the mineral or botanic world do not possess. On the other hand, the latter two, the animal and the human being, possess not just a body, but also a consciousness, a soul, which means an intangible source of life that grants them consciousness. Both of these elements in the universe, the body and the spirit, contain a divine transcendental spark, a godly energy that grants them existence, life, identity, content, and design. This is true concerning inorganic materials, organic materials, animals and human beings, their body as well as their consciousness. All of them live, exist, and are alive at every moment exclusively as a consequence of the divine life force granting them animation and existence and being. In both elements, the body of the universe, the bodies of the universe, as well as the souls of the universe, the opaqueness that obscures the godly energy is identical. In both of them, the body and the soul, The divine energy encloses itself and is communicated in an identical veil that obscures and covers the godliness and the transcendence that constitutes the core and the essence of the creature. Just as the godly energy vitalizing the piece of metal or the rock or the grass or the tree is communicated to these physical objects via a dense veil that conceals its presence and does not allow them to be perceived as part of the godly energy that is creating them. The same is true that the divine energy that animates the consciousness of an animal or the consciousness of a human being is also manifested in that same garment that does not allow the animal or the human being to experience godliness in a revealed way. The bodies and the souls are both products of Olam Hazeh in this world, and all divinity that is communicated to this world is manifested and enclosed in a dense garment, in a shell, in a husk that allows the creatures to feel independent, fragmented, egotistical, and self-contained. There was once a wagoner, a coachman, who came to the Holy Rebbe, Rabbi Yisrael Yitzchak of Alexander, lamenting that his horse doesn't want to eat anymore. He says, Rebbe, what should I do? My horse just doesn't have an appetite, doesn't want to eat. It's going to get sick and die on me. So the Helik Alexander says, my dear wagoner, tell me about your eating habits. Do you still want to eat? He says, yeah, Rebbe, thank God I have a good appetite. He says, tell me about your appetite. He says, I wake up in the morning starving. Immediately I wash my hands and I eat a big meal. I continue eating and eating throughout the day. And right before I go to sleep, I bench from my washing in the beginning of the day. So Rabbi Saul Yitzchak of Alexander says, my dear coachman, no wonder your horse lost its appetite. Since you're behaving like a horse, so your horse started behaving like a human being should behave. You start behaving like a human being should behave, so your horse will start behaving like a horse has to behave. So in this world, the psyche of the human being does not express its godly truth and essence any more than the psyche of a horse, any more than a tree, a mountain, or a speck of dust. On the other hand, there is a profound difference and distinction between the divine energy that is manifested in daimon, in the inanimate elements of life, in the botanic world, in animals and in human beings. What is the difference? True, in all of them, the divinity is equally opaque. The godliness is communicated in an equally concealed fashion. Psychology, I mentioned to you last week, does not express the transcendence of man any more than the study of biology does. And by study of biology, the science of man doesn't express godliness any more than the study of geology or geography. The opaqueness, the hester that characterizes our world is equal. This is a world in which one can entertain the thought that it's not spiritual, it's not godly. I can define myself as an egotistical, coarse, fragmented, self-centered being, even though that the truth is that there's nothing outside of the realm of spirituality and transcendence. So true, in all of them, the godly identity is concealed. But nonetheless, viewing the energy in and of itself, the life force of Hashem that enters into the soul of an animal is much more powerful, deeper, higher, more intense and stronger than the divine energy that's manifested, for example, in a piece of glass. You cannot compare the divine energy that animates and grants content to the consciousness of the human being, to the divine energy that creates and grants existence to a piece of straw. True, in man's consciousness, you don't see any more godliness than a piece of straw. The divine energy is not revealed anymore, but there's a lot more of it present in man's psyche than in the piece of glass. I can present an anonymous gift to four human beings. None of them will know from whom they received the gift. But to one I grant $100, to the other $1,000, to the other $100,000, and to the other $1,000,000 or $1,000,000,000. In that sense, Hashem grants a gift continuously to four elements, to Doimim, Tzemeya, Chai, Medaber. None of them are aware from whom they receive this gift. That's why we struggle our whole life to discover the spark of godliness. Although in truth is, there is nothing outside of godliness. No one is aware. It's an anonymous giver who gives a gift. For the Alter Rebbe, it was not an anonymous gift. It was a conspicuous gift. So I struggle. I do not want to use that word. But nonetheless, you cannot compare the gift he gives to the speck of dust or to the mineral to the gift he gives to the consciousness of the dog. As the Alter Rebbe put it, the Doimim received the last hay of Yudkei Vavke. The Tzemeach receives the Vav. The Chai receives the former hay. And the Medaber, the human being, receives the Yud. So to summarize, from the point of view of Hester and Gilead, as he put it, opaqueness versus revelation, body and spirit are identical. The opaqueness is the key factor that plays itself out in both of them equally. But from the point of view of Tzimtzum and Espashtus, not Hester and Gilead, Tzimtzum and Espashtus, restriction versus expansion, the energy, the divine energy in the doimim, in the inorganic elements, is much lower, much more limited, much more constricted than the energy in the tree, in the animal, and in the human being, which is higher, which is more spiritual, which is more profound. After this introduction, we can now understand the relationship between the deed of the mitzvah and the passion accompanying the deed, which is similar to the relationship between the body and the spirit. The deed of the mitzvah is the body of the mitzvah. It constitutes the concrete materialization of the mitzvah. And the passion and the meditation accompanying that deed is the spirit of the mitzvah, which accompanies the body. In both of them, there is no concealment whatsoever. Here we have to take the metaphor and turn it around. From the point of view of Hester and Gilead, opaqueness versus revelation, they're identical. There is no concealment in the both of them whatsoever. In the golden expression of the Alter Rebbe, in both of them we have Pnimiyus Ritzayneyus Baruch Belishum Hester Panim Levush Klal. The intimacy of Hashem's love and desire in singular term, without any garment or veil whatsoever. Which means, when you gaze at an Adam, you're also gazing at Hashem's will. You're also gazing at something that its entire core and substance is Hashem's energy. When you grasp a log, or you pick up this mic, or this cup of water, you're also grabbing, and you're grasping godly energy and Hashem's will. But in the presence of a log, even in the presence of an atom, although there maybe the Hester is a little less, I don't know. Hashem's energy is very obscured and very concealed. So you might be grasping divine energy and divine will, which is animating at every moment, but it's very concealed. Furthermore, beyond the concealment, because we don't perceive it, we don't see it, the energy of divinity that's manifested in the worlds is an energy by definition in which Hashem's intimate self is concealed. And this is the uniqueness of a mitzvah. By way of illustration, there's two types of conversations between people. One type of conversation is the one we're most familiar with, because that constitutes, I would think, the majority of most of our days. It's a conversation with people about a certain subject at hand. Something they should do, they can do, they should have done, they will do, something you have to do, a certain situation, event, piece of news, wisdom, whatever. Then there's a conversation. Where two people meet and they ask each other, what's the purpose of today's meeting? To get to know each other. We want to get to know each other. We want to get to know each other's hearts, each other's souls. Now, obviously, the difference is an extreme one. In the first case, the initial condition and premise of the conversation is that my intimate self is masqueraded. Obviously, you'll glean a glimpse into my personality as a result of any type of conversation with me. Whether you're conversing with me about sports, politics, the weather, or a paper I wrote, or a business, whatever it is, you glean insight into the person's wisdom, feelings, emotions, personality, and so forth. But by definition, the premise of the conversation is that there are cover-ups, there are masquerades. We're not talking about me. We're talking about a certain issue, and obviously I have some type of relationship or interaction or idea about that issue, so you'll get to know me. But then there is, and these are very rare conversations, but the most profound and beautiful ones in life, and that is when you're coming to talk to someone, and he or she's coming to talk to you about your inner soul. The initial premise is that there are no cover-ups. There is total vulnerability and total honesty without any opaqueness and concealments whatsoever. Now, with most people, we can't have such conversations because we don't trust too many people. So it's very rare. So in a way, when I take a log, I'm conversing with Hashem. I'm interacting with Him and He's interacting with me. But the initial premise of this interaction is that He's masqueraded. He interacts with the log, but He interacts with the log in the sense that He created the log. He sustained the log. And you know something about Him, but this is not about Hashem, who He is. This is about Hashem's relationship to the log. Then there's a mitzvah. You know what a mitzvah is? A mitzvah is Hashem, so to speak, tears open His shirt and says, here is my heart. Here I am. Here you have me. Here is my intimate self. There's no Hester Ponemir. So beyond the fact that the divine energy in the cosmos is concealed, beyond that fact, even someone who perceives it, the nature of that energy essentially is already covering up His intimate self. It's about Hashem as creator of the universe. A mitzvah is Hashem's intimate self. So in a mitzvah, Hashem tells the Jew, you want to know me, you want to know who I am in my essence, in the deepest space, this is my love, this is what I truly wish, this is who I am. The Alter Rebbe was once walking out of his bedroom, of his room, and his wife was sitting in the kitchen talking to some friends of hers. And she was repeating a story about her husband. So she started the conversation with the other women, and she said, Meiner sagt, which is the Yiddish expression for mine says, in other words, my husband says. The Alter Rebbe overheard that. He fell into a transcendental state of meditation for a long time. And when he arose from the meditation, he turned to his wife and he says, Mit ein mitzvah bin ich deiner. Mit wiffel mitzvahs is men dem Eberstens. With one mitzvah, I became yours. And you say, mine is, but with how many mitzvahs are we Hashem's? He fell on the doorpost. And when he stood up, he said, Seno rena b'nais tziyin. Which literally means, daughters of Zion, go out and behold. And Alter Rebbe said, Seno rena. To allow a human being to go out of himself, or and to perceive godliness, benoisi, and that's created through his feminine counterpart. The minor zakt of his wife evoked that passion within him. So as far as Hester and Gilui is concerned, the mitzvah and the kavanah of the mitzvah are identical. In both of them, there is no opaqueness whatsoever. Here you have Hashem exposed as He is in His deepest self. A yid who's sensitive to a mitzvah, that's what a mitzvah is all about. This is me, the real me. without any veils, any curtains, any cover-ups. The difference, however, between the Maisa and the Kavana is not in terms of revelation and opaqueness, but the question is, what gets revealed? By way of illustration, the light of the sun can be present in a public thoroughfare which is open from all sides. It can illuminate my home via a window, and then I can board up and nail up my window besides a tiny hole, so it can illuminate my home via a tiny hole. The light that enters my home through that tiny hole possesses the same qualities as the light that illuminated the public thoroughfare. There is no concealment in both of them. It's the same light with all the properties and qualities that light possesses. But nevertheless, obviously here you have more of the light and here you have less of the light. This is the difference between the deed of the mitzvah and the kavanah of the mitzvah. In the will of Hashem, that I take the hide of an animal and I wrap it on my hand, or that I light a physical candle, or that I shake a physical citron, a will that expresses Hashem's intimate vulnerability and openness without any expression, that is the body of the mitzvah. In His will that I have passion and that I connect to Him with my mind and my inner awareness and my feelings, here you have the soul of a mitzvah. Body and soul are identical as far as Hester and Gilui. In our case, the Kavana and the Maisa are identical, that in both of them you have Hashem in His essence. In the deed and His will to do this physical deed, you have Hashem's intimate essence. And in His will that you engage your Kavana, your spiritual self, you have Hashem in His essence. But as far as the quality of the energy, the quality of the light, in this you cannot compare the body to the soul. The quality of the divine energy expressed in the deed is lower than the quality of the divine energy expressed in the kavanah of the mitzvah. This was the point Alter Rebbe articulated till here, and now let's continue his words inside, where he continues and concludes the explanation. We are on Daf Nun Aleph Amud Aleph, that's page 101, four lines from the top. Even though in both of them, in a mitzvah as well as in her kavanah, is enclosed the same will. The mitzvah and the kavanah both contain the same supernal will, which is absolutely and unequivocally undefined. Changeless and indivisible, chas v'shalom, heaven forbid. And this will is united with Hashem's essence and core in perfect unity. So the Alter Rebbe is now asking a powerful question. How can you even say what I have just said? When you're dealing with a body and a soul in the physical world, the Yud of Yudkei Vavkei is not the K of Yudkei Vavkei, and the Vav of Yudkei Vavkei is not the final K of Yudkei Vavkei. This is a reflection of a higher level in godliness, and this is a reflection of a lower level in godliness that was impacted by various contractions. So I say, the present that Hashem gives the rock is $100, and the present He gives the consciousness of the horse is $1,000,000. That I can understand, even though they're concealed in both of them identically. But here you're talking about what? Hashem's intimate essence. His intimate essence is undefined, it's indivisible, it cannot be dissected, compartmentalized, fragmented, or divided in any way. It's simple and undefined. So if that's the case, how can you say that the revelation in both of them is the same, but the level of godliness, or the intensity of godliness, or the profundity of godliness that's expressed in His will that I tie the hide of the animal around my arm is different than the profundity of godliness that's expressed in His will that I meditate about Hashem, or I experience a feeling with Hashem? Or to put it in more personal terms, everybody knows that the difference between physicality and spirituality, or physicality and psychology, melts away in the presence of real vulnerability. In the presence of real vulnerability, where man's essence is exposed, the physical embrace and the words that accompany that physical embrace are identical. So if a mitzvah, that Hashem in His essence is totally exposed, this is who I am, this is the core, the quintessence of my personality, so to speak. This is what I want. This is me. You have the me. So how can you make any type of division as far as saying that the ma'ase is like the guf and the kavanah is like the neshama? So the Alter Rebbe explains, afa pikein, nonetheless, despite this, ha'are neshava b'pchinas simtzum v'ispashtas. The illumination and impact of the will on one soul is different in terms of its contraction and expansion. The energy is identical, but the ha'ara, the illumination and the impact on the soul is very different. Which means the essence of Hashem is present in both of them, in the mitzvah and in the kavanah. The difference, however, is in how much this essence is conspicuous and present and apparent in man's life. In the ma'isa of the mitzvah, devoid of kavanah, it's much more restricted. It's like the light of the sun being communicated through the hole. And in the ma'isa of mitzvah that comes together with kavanah, it's much more expanded. It's like the light of the sun that illuminates the thoroughfare that has no walls whatsoever. Which means as follows. Theoretically, you can have a relationship, even a total union and marriage, theoretically speaking, with someone whom you never see. There can be total harmony between two people who have never seen each other. There can even be intimacy between them. They can even create a family together. But vaser panamatas. You're experiencing intimacy with someone. Imagine there was never light and you never saw that other person. As they say in Yiddish, as panamatas. It's faceless. It's faceless. The unity is here, but you can't perceive it. So this is what Alter Rebbe is saying, the difference between mitzvahs without passion and mitzvahs with passion. Intimacy with Hashem you have when you do the mitzvah. Whether you feel or you don't feel, whether you meditate or you don't meditate, whether you appreciate or you don't appreciate. Here Hashem exposes Himself and He says, you have my essence. And through mitzvahs, there is a total union and fusion between man and God. The tragedy is that you don't see your partner. You're living with him in a dark bedroom. You're living with him in a dark home. You can define it this way. If a mitzvah is intimacy, the definition of intimacy is intumisi. Hashem says a mitzvah is an opportunity to see into me totally. Zogd Alter Rebbe, through a ma'isa of a mitzvah, you have into me, but you're lacking the see. You have Him, you have His essence, but you can't perceive godliness, you can't live with godliness. Without kavanah, a yid who does all the mitzvahs without kavanah, he never sees Hashem. He has Hashem, he never sees Him. And that's painful. So the etzem is there. There's total fusion. Why? Because this is His intimate ratzon, and you just implemented the intimate ratzon. But kavanah means, what does kavanah mean? Kavanah means you're passionate about it. You appreciate about it. You understand the godliness of it. You're excited about it. You're enthusiastic about your Yiddishkeit. Your davening is not an exercise in being a robot or a machine. Your mitzvah is not done mechanically. Your soul is there. Your consciousness is there. You appreciate the depth. So the Alter Rebbe says, here you see it. Here you perceive it. And as the Alter Rebbe emphasized earlier in the chapter, if Kavanah wouldn't constitute Hashem's will, then there would be nothing to talk about. Then Kavanah wouldn't allow you to see Him. Kavanah would allow you to see your own yourself. That's what Kavanah would allow you to do. That's what he emphasized. It's not because spirituality is higher than physicality. If Kavanah wouldn't be Hashem's will, so Kavanah wouldn't add anything to the puzzle. Kavanah would make my ego appreciate it. I wouldn't see Hashem through Kavanah. I would see myself through Kavanah. If there would be no mitzvah kavanah, there would be a mitzvah just to put on tefillin and that's it. Don't think and don't feel. Hashem is not interested in that. All spiritual feelings don't scratch the surface of tearing away the veil to allow Hashem's intimacy to be exposed, as discussed in the earlier chapters. But since His will is that my arm should be connected to Him and that my consciousness should be connected to Him, not just my fingers, but also my heart and my emotions and my inner mind and so on and so forth. So the Alter Rebbe says, the Ratzin and the Kavana allows you to see Him. And the Ratzin and the Maisa doesn't allow you to see Him and to perceive Him in the same powerful way. And that's the depth in the meaning of mitzvah b'lei kavana k'guv b'lei neshama. Yes. Yes.
Why isn't it possible to just do it by wrong? When you use the word pain, you mean it's really painful?
I don't mean when I use the word tragic or painful, I don't mean it's physically painful. It's a pain. Think about a relationship between two people who enjoy intimacy without ever seeing each other. It's a tragic phenomenon. Yes. On the other hand, kavana without the mitzvah is meaningless, as Dr. Rebbe discussed in the beginning of chapter 38. Kavana without the mitzvah is meaningless. Why?
So that more than just quantitative. The muscle with the light makes it purely quantitative.
Obviously, the metaphor with the light is an incomplete metaphor. It's an incomplete metaphor, obviously.
I'm saying that the guf is a necessary condition, but the kavanah is.
I'd say the opposite way. Kavanah b'lo is neshama
b'lo guf. As I state, it doesn't say that. I never saw it should say kavana b'lei tefillah is k'neshama b'lei guf. Kavana b'lei tefillah, you're not on the trip. You're on your own trip. You're not there. You're on your own trip. In the beginning of Lamed Ches, he explained because the ultimate purpose was to transform earth. And that occurs through the physicality of the mitzvah. That's Hashem's intimate will. That's what His intimate will is. Nesava kadosh baruch hu liyis leidiri b'tachtayinim. So now the Alter Rebbe says, Afal PK, in the second half of chapter 38, on the other hand, we have to understand the importance of Kavanah.
We just have to take it as a given that this is clearly
right.
Beyond, after that necessary condition.
After the necessary condition of Guv, there's now an additional powerful virtue in Kavanah. Yes. That's good. The Alter Rebbe is addressing the mitzvah and its own kavanah. Meditation without a mitzvah, he hasn't accomplished anything. I mean, he did a nice thing, but as far as what a mitzvah is, he hasn't accomplished anything. Which is all based on the profound explanations of the Alter Rebbe in chapter 4, 20 and 21, and 35. Which one has to keep on bearing in mind on the nature of Hashem's unity and how the world came into being, opaqueness versus revelation, and so on and so forth, and what a Torah mitzvahs are. Now the Haggadah, the footnote. Kamishakasuv Beit Chaim, as it's written in Eitz Chaim. Eitz Chaim is written by Reb Chaim Vital, the faithful chief disciple of the Arizal. That the kavanah in mitzvahs and in Torah study is in the level of light, while the body of the mitzvahs is the level and category of vessels, These vessels represent contraction, through the contraction of the light that the vessels came into being, as is known to those familiar with the Kabbalistic literature. One moment. You're asking what's the definition of kavana? That Dr. Rebbe defined earlier in the Perek, and he'll define it again. A few lines earlier, he defined what kavana is. On page 100, in the line beginning Hame'iru Mulabashas, Sha'adam Iskavin Basiyasim Kadei Ladavka Bayizbarach, when you're doing the mitzvah, your intention is that you want to, you have a passion and a desire to connect with Hashem. V'chein b'kavanas ha'tfila, you see, she'b'kavanasi behen medabek machshavti v'sichli b'yizbarach. When you meditate on the words of davening, you're connecting your mind with Hashem. Note the difference, by the way. When it comes to mitzvahs ma'asiyas, he says kavan is that when you're doing it, your intention is to connect with Him. When it comes to tfilah, he says, when you meditate on its words, you're connecting with Him. Because when you meditate on the words of davening or on the words of Shema, you are connecting with them. By the physical mitzvah, you have to say, you're doing it with the intention to connect with them. The Arizal writes in Etz Chaim and Shaar Klipas Noiga that there's the concept of Eirus and Kelim. Everybody knows one of the foundational doctrines in Kabbalah is that divine energy is communicated through light and through vessels. Iris and Kalim. Iris, the energy, and Kalim are the channels, the instruments of expression that grant the energy a defined form and character. Whether it's Chesed, Gvura, Tiferes, Hashem emanates from Himself the energy of attraction, rejection, empathy, endurance, surrender, whatever. In all these cases, the Oyr is intense, infinite, undefined, and the Keli channels it and grants it a certain definition and character. When the energy is intense and is present in its natural sense, it doesn't allow for channeling. It doesn't allow, it's a nuclear atomic energy that breaks, that shatters, and so forth. Only when the Oyr is in the Betzumtzum, when it's condensed and contracted and so forth, does it allow for Kalim. You'll see, generally speaking, in human beings that people, there are two types of people. There are Oyr people and there are Kalim people. There are people who have a lot of energy and they're usually lousy in creating structures. And there are people who are superb in creating structures, but they got no energy or very little energy. It's unique to find a combination of both elements in one person. A real, fantastic, tremendous visionary who also knows how to create structures for his vision, it's usually a big problem. It's the difference between an artist and a businessman. Alter Rebbe. Yeah. Chabad. Take the nuclear energy of the soul and channel it. So you need a tzimtzum of the Eir in order to create Kalim. So the Eitz Chaim says that Kavon is Eirus and Mais is Kalim. So this is a testimony to what has been explained in Tanya, that Kavona has the energy in its full intensity. The seeing of it. You perceive what is happening. You perceive the essence of Hashem. The mitz Maisa is Hashem's will processed through physical materials, and thus it's compared to Kalim. How does it relate to Tzimtzum and Espashtus? The Keli is created through Tzimtzum. In the Eir, there's no Tzimtzum, there's Espashtus. So the Kavana is the Eir of the Etzem with Espashtus, the Ha'ara with Espashtus. And the Keli is the Maisa of the Mitzvah, which is the Ha'ara with through Tzimtzum. Espashtus means expansion, Tzimtzum means restriction. Now let's see what Alter Rebbe says right. V'nechlekes. Avada. That's the key difference between the world of chaos and the world of healing. Olam HaToyah and Olam HaTikun. Olam HaToyah was a world in which there was intense light and there were very few vessels. Olam HaTikun, the world of healing, is the light was diminished and the vessels came into play. V'nechlak is gamkin l'arba madregis. Zog the Alter Rebbe. They too, the mitzvahs and their kavanah, are differentiated into four levels. Which means, just as in the general cosmos, there are generally two elements, the bodies and the souls. Specifically, however, there are four elements. The inorganic, the organic, the animal, and the human being. The same is true concerning our service of Hashem. Generally, there are two elements in that service. There is the body of our spiritual service, of our godly service, the mitzvahs. And there is the soul of our spiritual service, which is the kavanah. But specifically, there are four levels. And Alter Rebbe will now describe that there are now four types of avodah, four types of Yiddishkeit, four versions of Yiddishkeit, and four types of Jews. You have Jewish, you have inorganic Jews, organic Jews, Jewish animals, and Jewish human beings. Zogda Alter Rebbe. Ki guf ha-mitzvahs atzman mamish ein beis madregas. For the body of the mitzvahs themselves, the body, not the soul, comprises two levels. Shehein, these two levels are mitzvahs ma'isiyes mamish, mitzvahs consisting of physical action, u'mitzvahs hatluyes b'dibur u'machshav. But then you have mitzvahs that are performed with speech and thought. K'moi Talmud Torah, like learning Torah, Krishma reciting the Shema, Utfila and davening, Ubirchis Amaz and saying grace after meals, or Shar Brachas and all the other blessings. Physical mitzvahs is the stone or the rock-like element of the Jewish experience. What is the definition of a rock? As they say, a rock doesn't cry, a rock doesn't laugh, a rock feels no pain, a rock doesn't dance. So you have a Yid who has everything, but he's a rock. He does everything and he has everything in a perfect way, but there's no passion, there's no life, there's no stamina. That corresponds to the physical mitzvahs that involve physical, inanimate, inorganic actions. Then there are mitzvahs connected to speech and thought. These are vegetative mitzvahs. And the Jew who engages in them is the botanic Jew. Here there's already some life. You know, in speaking and in thinking, there is some vitality similar to the vitality in the botanic world. In fact, a Yid davens, a Yid learns, you also shake, like a tree shakes, like a branch shakes, like a leaf shake, and so forth. Here is already a Yid who's growing. But just like in the botanic world, there's no soul. The physicality is alive. In an inorganic elements, mineral, stone, water, and so forth, no movement is seen whatsoever. In the botanic world, there is movement, but there's no consciousness. In the physicality, there is movement. So the same is true in the Torah and mitzvahs experience. Ma'isa ha-mitzvahs, the Alter Rebbe says, that's the doimim. That's the doimim. Again, the revelation is the same in doimim as in medaber. But as far as tzimtzum and as pashtus, what is perceived, here you have an inanimate Yiddishkeit. Hashem's intimacy is there. But as far as revelation, it's inanimate. As far as what is communicated to the one engaging in it, it's inanimate. Then there is the mitzvahs of speaking and thinking, the davening without kavanah, without kavanah. But the actual act of thinking, of communicating, of verbalizing and thinking, reflect some type of energy, but there's still no soul. Then you have the two higher forms. You have the Jewish animal and the Jewish human being. And this Alter Rebbe continues, V'kavanas ha-mitzvahs l'dafka b'yizbarach, sheikin neshama l'guv. The kavanah of the mitzvahs, which is the feeling and the desire to attach oneself to Hashem by performing the mitzvah. Shikin neshama leguf, which is like a soul for the body of the mitzvah, nechlekes gamkin l'shtei madregas, is likewise divided into two levels. K'may shtei madregas haneshama shein beguf achumri shein chayu medaber, corresponding to the two levels of spirit found in material bodies, namely the consciousness in animals and the consciousness in man. And the same is true in the Yiddishkeit experience. The consciousness of a mitzvah has two levels, similar to the consciousness in an animal and the consciousness, a higher form of consciousness that's present in a man. And let's see how the Alter Rebbe explains this. Ki mi shedaita yafel adas es Hashem ul izbeinin begdolasi yizbarach. The first level, comparable to human consciousness, is that of a person who's discerning enough to know Hashem and to meditate on His awesomeness, and to create out of his meditation a lofty sense of awe in his mind, and a love of Hashem in the right part of his heart, so that his soul thirsts for Hashem, seeking to cleave to Him.